produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This book of Ephesians is, as I've said before, the queen of all of the epistles.
Amen.
Yes.
We thank God for His Word.
Yes.
His Word is true.
That's all it is.
His Word is rich. His Word is salvation. Yes. And how we bless God for His Word.
Yes, man.
This book is the queen of the epistles. Romans is the king of the epistles. And this book, the book of Ephesians, just as the book of Romans, was written by the Apostle Paul. And we know, of course, who Paul is. Paul is that biblical character. When he first comes on the scene, he is first known as Saul. And Saul was the great persecutor of the church. And he was saved on the road to Damascus.
Uh-huh.
The Lord Jesus himself appeared to him and blinded him, came to him shining as bright as the noonday sun. He was blinded while on his beast, and he was converted.
Uh-huh.
And the Apostle Paul tells us just that even in this letter. The Apostle Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. If it were not for the Apostle Paul, we may not even have the gospel today.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul was greatly instrumental in distributing the gospel to those who were not of the household of Israel.
All right.
And the Apostle Paul was that systematic theologian, the greatest that ever was. The Apostle Paul was an extreme intellect. He was of the first rank. The Lord used his intellectual prowess to the benefit of us. The Apostle Paul was, he says of himself, he says, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews.
All right.
He says, I'm a Jew of Jews. He says, I'm born from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yeah.
He says, according to the law, touching the law, there is nothing that I did not do.
All right.
And matter of fact, Paul went on to say almost that there is nothing that I don't know.
Mm.
The Apostle Paul was just a colossal intellect.
All right.
Of the first rank. And he was used by God to bless us, to bring to us this great epistle. And as I've said before, you see, his preaching has been birthed and born out of conversations that I've had with people in our church. Sister Mayreen was one. She came with some great questions. And out of that came the inspiration for me, maybe I need to preach, and I've never done it before, preach an entire book.
Amen.
To take the time not to just preach good sermons, which there's nothing wrong with that, but to systematically go through an entire epistle from verse 1 all the way to the end. I believe it's greatly beneficial to the believer who will hear it. It has certainly benefited me in terms of having to study and prepare and to come with a word from heaven.
All right,
amen.
I want you to know, brothers and sisters, when we look at the word of God, as we listen, as the Lord will prayerfully speak to us this morning, and I believe the Lord will, as we expatiate on these ideas and these theological concepts that Paul has landed for us in this great book.
Amen.
We hope to exposit it and expound upon it this morning.
Yes.
We'll find that Paul, according to this text, and if you would, keep your Bible open. We preach from the Bible. Everybody say, we preach from the Bible.
We preach from the Bible.
Amen. You don't just read a scripture and then we go somewhere else. We come right back to where we read.
Amen. All right.
And we expound upon it. Here it is in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
He said he belongs to Jesus Christ. He is an apostle. He's now, because of the way in which he was converted, Paul was not of the original 12. And he, as he says of himself, he was an apostle born out of season. He was the, I guess you'd say, off apostle. But he was greatly used of God. He is an apostle. He's declaring his apostleship. He says, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then he says these words that are so very important. He says that I am an apostle by the will of God.
Yeah.
Remember the last time that we preached, I took time to deal with that for a little while because the apostle is saying, I was converted by the will of God.
All right.
It was against the apostle's will that the Lord converted him. Saul, that being the first one, Saul, the same man, his will was to stamp out Christianity. His will was to beat and to destroy and to kill those messengers of Christ. He had letters that were given to him by the Sanhedrin. And he was going around stamping out the very witness and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And against his will, the Lord Jesus converted him. That's a powerful thought because, brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is every person that has been converted against your will. It was against your will that you were converted. Everyone is converted against our will, but it is according to the will of the Father.
All right.
And we'll see it here.
Yes, sir.
Brothers and sisters, no one desires Christ. I believe I said that last week when I was dealing with my Easter message that came from Isaiah chapter 54, that no one desires Christ. He's not desirable. No person in their natural mind desires to go after Christ. And it's throughout the whole text of Scripture. People have said, you know, as I said last week, people have said, well, there are people who are searching out for God and looking for God. Nobody looks for God. Nobody. Nobody in their natural state looks for God.
Come on, Pastor.
Nobody. That's what the scripture says. Matter of fact, so much so that until I really want to bring that to your attention, Jesus said it like this in John chapter 6. Yes. And I have a member who told me, Brother Pastor, you might need to stop and read some of these texts because we might not go back and read them as you've instructed us to do.
Right.
But so I'm going to take the time. I want you to go to John. Well, put it down in your notes. In John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus says these words. Jesus says, he says, no one comes to me except the Father who sent me gives them to me. Nobody. God has to first, with respect to conversion, with respect to regeneration, nobody comes to God unless the Father initiates and pulls and draws and compels one to come to him.
All right.
I want you to look at Romans. Look at, if you've got your Bibles yet open, look at the book of Romans. I'm doing this because one of my members, one of our precious members, told me, Brother Pastor, you need to slow down and just go ahead and read it. It may take a little while, but we're not going back home reading it as we ought to. Come on, talk to me somebody. And so since we're not, I'm going to read it for you to make sure you get it. Is that all right with y'all?
Come on,
amen.
Listen, in Romans chapter 3, look at what Paul, the Apostle Paul, this is the king of the epistles. And the Apostle Paul, the same writer, says this. In Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, listen to this. And this is a universal characterization of mankind. He says, as it is written, what does it say?
There is
none righteous. No. Now, there might be somebody good somewhere. Is that what the book said?
No.
Somebody got to be. Somebody got to be okay. The Bible says categorically, universally, unequivocally. If the Bible makes a general claim, according to the Apostle Paul, he makes a transcendent claim that there is none righteous, no, not one. Then he says this in verse 11. There is, listen, y'all don't believe this, but this is what the book says. There is none that understandeth. There is none.
Seeketh after God.
I can't hear
you. Seeketh after God.
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody in their right mind, in their natural state, unconverted, seeks for God. People look for release. They want to get out from under their pressure. They want their body to be healed, but they're not looking for God. They want to get out from under the COVID restrictions, but they're not looking for God. As I said last week, I knew it because it's biblical. People say, oh, this is going to make people turn to God, and this will be a new country after COVID. Oh, people went right back. As soon as they could, went right back to their same practices, doing what they used to do, as if COVID had never come.
Yes, sir.
When it happened with the crash in New York City with those twin towers, these old people are going to fall down. They're going to call after God. There's something that's happening. There was an initial impact, but after a while, people went right back doing what they were doing. No one seeks after God. No one. Look at what he says here. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's the book right here. Look at you with verse number 18. Verse 18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. This is our natural state. Nobody respects, nobody fears God. And the Bible says that knowledge comes. First, you got to have the fear of God if you're going to have wisdom. Wisdom comes from the fear of God. And most people do not fear God.
Come on, Pastor.
They live any kind of way they want to.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want you to talk about this and that because they want to do what they want to do.
Yeah,
they don't want the pastor talking about their pet sin. They say, well, I ain't going back to that church anymore because he talked too much about this. But brothers and sisters, I don't mean to offend nobody. That's not my aim and goal. But if I'm going to preach the whole counsel of God, and I'm going to be held responsible of what I preach, I got to preach it all, even if it means it convicts me.
Amen.
And I step on my toes first before I ever step on anybody else's toes.
Yes, sir.
Here it is. There is none that doeth good. And if you would just look in verse number 23, we know this one. Why? Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
This is a universal, all-encompassing, unilateral, categorical, transcendent condition of mankind. This is our de facto condition.
Amen.
Without Christ, we do not seek God.
Amen.
This is where we are.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul says that I was converted by the will of God.
Uh-huh.
And then he says unto the saints, verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Remember now, he called those people who were living in a sexual, secular society.
Uh-huh.
Hypersexual society, much like ours. Yes. And he called them, even though they were in the world, they were not of the world, he called those same ones to be saints and to be faithful.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul is calling us. Right now, the Holy Ghost is telling us, even with all the sexual perversion that is around us seemingly all day long at all times, we are called to to be sanctified for God's use.
Amen.
Now let's look at verse number 2.
Uh-huh.
I'm only going to do 8 verses if I'm able to get there today. 12 o'clock already. But look what it says in verse 2. Grace be to you. I love that. Grace, oh, don't miss that. Grace be to you.
Yes.
And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Grace
you, Lord.
Be to you.
Yes.
What an exhortation.
Yes. Yes.
He's saying, I'm putting on you favor.
Yes.
I'm putting on you the power. You know what grace is? It is the power to do what God has commanded. It is the ability. It is the charisma. That's where we get our word charisma from. It is the charisma of God to enable you to do what you need to do.
Yes.
One of our dear brothers, come here, Brother Smith, if you would. One of our dear brothers, help me take my jacket off, if you would. One of our dear brothers who's here this... Listen, one of our dear brothers, he greets you with, matter of fact, he called my house a couple of weeks ago, and Tammy answered my phone, and Tammy answered the phone and said, and when she brought me the phone, she said what he said, grace and peace to you. And she gave me the phone and she just started laughing because that's what Brother Joyner, that's how he greets us. Grace and peace.
All right.
What an exhortation. Grace, and this is what the Apostle Paul said. Grace, favor for your life. Favor to do what God has commanded you to do. That's what grace is. Grace gives you the favor to do it and be able to have the power to do it. And then he also says, and peace.
Yes, sir.
It's coupled with peace. Grace and peace. When you're favored to do what God has enabled you to do, that means you're not going to be frustrated in your own living.
Amen.
When you are favored to do it and it becomes a grace to you, it's like all of the oils, all the gears of your life are oiled, and you just move smoothly, even with all of the trouble that you go through, even with all of the problems that you go through. Some people just have seemingly the grace to keep on walking, and it seems like, I know it affects them, but it seems like the problems don't even affect them.
Come on.
What a powerful exhortation. Thank you, Brother John. He says grace to you. And you'll have peace because all of the gears of your life are well oiled.
Yeah.
Amen. We're the oil of grace.
Yes.
We're the oil of grace in our life. So the gears won't get stuck. So you won't get rusted. So you won't just break. See, grace allows you to bend without breaking.
All right now.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's what grace does
thank
for
you,
us.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
You.
Grace.
Thank you.
Deacon John, he confers it upon us when he greets us almost every time we see him. And the peace of God.
Uh-huh.
Now, we need peace with God. You remember that in Romans chapter 5? Put it down if you would. Romans chapter 5 tells us that we have peace with God.
Amen.
Therefore, being justified
by
faith, we have peace with God. With God. Everybody say, with God.
With God.
That is the number one thing we need, Sister Jackson, is to have peace with God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because otherwise, if you are not on God's side, it means you're God's enemy.
Uh-huh.
And who can fight against God?
Uh-huh.
Who can win against God? Nobody. I want to have somebody can testify. Nobody.
Amen.
Nobody can win against God. And you need to have peace with God. But also, if you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And we are called, according to the apostle again, in his text of scripture that he's given unto us, and we're called, according to the apostle in Philippians chapter 4, that be careful for nothing but in everything.
Yes.
Be anxious for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul says, let your request, I hear you, Sister Jackson, let your request be made known to God. And when you tell God all your trouble, when you tell God all of your problems, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Thank God for his peace.
Thank you.
Thank the Lord for his peace.
Yes,
Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you.
Yes, sir.
Thank my you. Peace. He says, my peace I give to you.
Amen.
I don't give it as the world give it.
Uh-huh.
Then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid.
Amen.
When we have the peace of God, we're not to be anxious. We won't be anxious and we won't be troubled, neither will we be afraid. And the Apostle Paul confers this upon those who are faithful and those who are saints.
Amen.
One of the byproducts of walking with God is that you and I can have peace.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know if anybody understands really what that means.
Yes.
In every situation, no matter what befalls you, you can have peace.
Come on, Pastor.
No matter what happens in your life, no matter what the doctor may have said, no matter what you may have lost, you have access and you have peace.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
There are people who have way more money than you have.
Yes, sir.
They can't sleep at night.
Thank you.
People that got a whole lot more than in terms of possession than you have. And brother and sister, they can't eat.
Amen.
Because they've got knots all in their stomach. From being nervous and wondering about the markets and wondering what's going to happen with my wealth and who's attacking me and what's coming this way and what's coming that way. One of the great things of God is that we can be content with whatever state I'm in. If I got money, if I don't, I can have contentment and I can be at peace. I can be satisfied with Jesus alone. Look at somebody say, there's some things, tell them there's some things money can't buy. Some things money cannot buy. God gives us peace.
Amen.
He says, don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Now look what it says here in verse 3. He says, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from our Lord, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ that is conferred to us through both parties in the Godhead. But then he goes further by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of God the Father, blessed be Him, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now this begins one long, elegant sentence in the Greek. Paul, from verse 3 all the way down to verse around 13 or 14, 14, all the way down to 14, is just one long sentence. And he's just talking, and it's like he had an eruption in his soul, and just he begins to just erupt out what the Holy Spirit put inside of him. And he says that he begins it in verse 3. He talks about the cosmic blessings of God. The vast, tremendous, unexplainable blessings that come to us through God.
Thank you.
And he does it by speaking of even all three parties of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He says, blessed be God the Father, God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Amen.
That literally can read, who has blessed us with all Holy Spirit blessings.
Yes.
He's speaking of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Spiritual blessing. He's communicating these blessings come through the Holy Ghost. And these blessings, praise be to his name, they are incorruptible.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot be destroyed. are the emphasis of the eternal blessing
uh-huh.
that Christ supplies for you and me.
Amen.
Many in today's church, they make emphasis of the temporal blessings.
Uh-huh.
The things that we get in this terrestrial plane. Things that do wear out. Cars wear out. You don't care what kind of car you get. You can get a Rolls Royce today, and if you don't maintain it, it will. And if you do maintain it, after a while, it's going to wear out.
Yeah.
I don't care how fine your clothes are. Don't you know? Moths eat them too. Come on, you say that. Moths like silk just like they like cotton, just like they like polyester. Amen. And so whatever you get, I don't care what it is, there are whatever you get in this life can be corruptible.
Uh-huh.
Not only can it be corruptible, it can also, anything you possess here, can be taken from you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, man.
Yes, sir.
The most grand home can burn to the ground.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I don't care what it is you possess.
Yes.
It can come to ruin.
Yes.
But the blessings of our God are those that are eternal. We don't always think about that. The eternal blessing. And I don't care. Listen, I praise God for good health and all of that. We pray for healing and all of those things.
Sir.
But that is only but temporary. Every person that's here today, you can take all the vitamins. You can drink all of the water. You can eat all of the grass and the dirt if you want to. You don't eat pork. You don't eat beef. All of that, it don't matter. After a while, something gonna happen, and you gonna get up from here.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care how healthy you are. Don't you know every person here is sick enough to live and well enough to die? It doesn't matter what your health status is. It's still terminal. Doctor, come out and give you the clinging bill of health.
Yeah.
When you get through with that, you need to put it at the bottom. You still trauma.
That's right.
Your pressure right. Your breathing right. You know, you got your weight is right. But I don't care what it is, you are going to die. And if you don't consider that, brother and sister, you're a fool.
Come on, Pastor.
Everybody is going to die.
Amen.
But what we have in Christ Jesus is eternal.
Yes,
it's incorruptible.
Yes,
and I know there are people who would say that that's like preaching a pie in the sky or just preaching a sweet by and by. Brother and sister, no. This is where our mind ought to be because we're already sitting in heavenly places. We need to already have an awareness that whatever we're going through here with our health, with our family, with whatever it is, brothers and sisters, whatever it is, we need to understand that in Jesus, we have a prize, we have a gift, we have the benefit that cannot be corrupted. And we ought to praise God that there is no one that can rob heaven. No one can break in the safe of heaven.
Amen.
There is no thief. There is no corruption. There is no moth. There is no fire. Nothing can happen to the gifts God gives us. And he gives it to us in such manifold blessings that it cannot be destroyed.
All right.
Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Many of our blessings are parochial and terrestrial. They're right here and right now. And I tell you, there's nothing wrong with it if you can afford it, but ain't nothing special about having a Louis Vuitton bag. I'm telling you, I'd rather have a plastic bag with $5,000 in it than a $5,000 purse with a Rolex.
Help me, Pastor. Help.
Do I have a witness here? And God's blessings are good blessings that cannot be corrupted. I'm trying to emphasize this right here.
Later.
Come on, man. Later.
Come
on. Say that with me.
Later
is more important than now.
Than now.
Put it down if you will. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I'm going to read it. One of our precious members told us, you know, Brother Pastor, we probably can read the text because we don't go home and read it like we ought to. Amen. I'm going to read it. Is that all right, y'all?
Read it.
Yes, it is.
Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon." I'm going to read it because something, you know, one of our members, one of our precious members, told us that. Amen. Now, he said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." When you compare it to what, where we're going, when you compare with what we've had to endure with where we're going, if you compare with what you've had to undertake with what you're where you're going, when we look at that, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, there is nothing that compares with the greatness of what's over there with what we're having to suffer over here.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Some people don't believe in suffering at all. Mm. I was giving a one time the vows to a couple as they were getting ready to get married, and I said, "For better or for worse?"
Yes.
They said for better. They didn't say for worse. I said for rich or for poor? They said for rich. They didn't say poor. But life sometimes, the vicissitudes and the fluctuations and the undulations of life, you can be up today and down tomorrow.
Come on,
Pastor. Amen. That's why you want to marry somebody, not just for the good times.
Amen.
I'm glad somebody has been married more than 20 minutes. They'll tell you, you need to be with somebody that if it came down to it and you run into a pole and you get paralyzed, that person is going to stay with you and change your diaper if they need to. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
This light affliction is nothing in comparison. When we contrast and compare and juxtapose the situation, there is nothing that compares to this. Jesus had this in mind. Listen, Jesus had this in mind when he, according to Hebrews, put it down, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. It was because he had the ability to look ahead. He could see ahead. And brothers and sisters, that's what you and I must do. We cannot get hunkered down with the immediate. But we got to understand that when we look ahead, there is something far greater that we will receive if we remain faithful. Look ahead. When people are studying for their degree, you know, they can't get bogged down. I got to get this paper. You got to look ahead. I'm walking. I'm going across the stage. I'm putting my tassel on the other side. You got to look ahead for that joy of the celebration with your family that I did all of this because I can see myself walking in on graduation day. Amen. Same thing for us spiritually. We got to look ahead. We've got to look ahead. Let me move forward if I can. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him. Thank you. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh my, this is one of the revelations I've had that the Lord has opened my spirit and mind to over the last few years. I remember when I first made mention to it, to our Sunday school class, how that it was almost a revolting idea. It wasn't rightly immediately received. Understandably so. Because God has to, with respect to revelation, Sister Mary, God's got to reveal it.
Yes.
Amen.
And God will open our understanding.
Yes.
He'll open our eyes. He will show us, and when he shows us, that's when we get it.
Amen.
People can talk about it, people can tell you about it, people can instruct you about it, they can teach you about it, but until God opens your mind, you really don't get it.
Amen.
But look what it says here. And I understood the refusal to receive that with immediacy, but it seems as if the class is coming right along, because this is what the scriptures say. God chose us. And Brother Corey preached on this just a few weeks ago. God chose us before the worlds were ever framed.
All right.
He chose us.
Yes.
He chose us. And because of that, we take no credit.
All right.
No credit for our salvation. We had very little to do, if anything, really, with our salvation.
Yes.
God just so happened to choose you.
Thank you, Lord.
If you say, I know you think that you came to God. I know I came to my senses. Thank God I came to my senses. I alone chose the Lord. No, you didn't choose him. He chose you.
Come on, Pastor.
Thank you.
And if you really, just like when you were born in the natural, Jesus said, if you want to be saved, he told Nicodemus, ye must be what?
Born.
If you use that allegorical thought, if you look at natural birth, my question is to you. Did you have anything to do with your natural birth?
No, sir.
Nothing.
Not
it had nothing to do with your mom and dad. It had nothing to do with the family you were born in, where you were born, who you were born. You had nothing to do with that.
Amen.
Your salvation, your spiritual birth is the same way. You had nothing to do with that. Thank God for his grace.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's right.
He didn't have to choose you.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have to choose me.
Yes.
But thank God. Look at somebody say, thank God for me. Here it is. It's right here in the text.
Yeah.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. That's what it says right here. Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And this is a common theme throughout the whole book of Ephesians. And Sister Marine helped to birth and born this series of messages from her questioning. Listen, this is one of the reasons why we have security in our salvation. If you're truly saved, if God has truly converted you, if God truly has called you from the foundation of the world, you cannot lose your salvation.
Come on, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord.
Because God has sealed it.
Right now.
Before you did anything right or wrong, God already made up his mind.
Thank God.
Before you were ever born, before even humans ever came on the scene, he already knew down the annals of time, he knew I'm going to choose this one right here.
All right, man. Come on, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord.
And somebody may charge God foolishly. And say, well, that ain't fair. Don't ever say that about God. God in his sovereignty, a sovereign, holy God cannot be arbitrary.
Amen.
He cannot just haphazardly do. God, everything he does, I'm getting ahead of myself, is by his will. Look at the will. Listen, we can't take credit for our salvation. We are eternally secure because God chose us. We didn't have anything to do with that. And my question has been answered by you. Can God's desires ever be thwarted? God cannot ride on King Jesus. No man can hinder you.
Amen.
Nobody can stop God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'll have a witness here.
Thank you.
God is sovereign in all things.
All right now, Pastor.
And he's a sovereign especially over our salvation. Oh, brothers and sisters. We are to be holy. That's what the book says. We're to be holy. We're to be morally pure. We are to be blameless. We are to be free from accusation. This is what this says in verse 4. We are to be without blame. We are to be holy. We are to be those who cannot be accused, rightly at least, rightly accused of doing wrong. That's how we ought to live. We show that we're saved by being blameless and being morally pure. We're not perfect.
Amen.
I'll say it again. I know somebody believe that once you get saved, you can be perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. Nobody.
Amen.
Nobody but Christ. Nobody. And your salvation is not dependent on your perfection. It's dependent on Christ's perfection.
All right, now.
And because of his perfection, that's imputed to us.
Yes, it is.
And now God sees us in Christ as being perfect. When we are morally pure, when we are blameless without accusation, not perfect, but nobody can point their finger at you and say this or that and be honest in terms of morality and in terms of ethics. And if you fail in that area, you know what you're supposed to do? Ask God to forgive you. Amen.
Amen.
I had a precious saint say, "Bro, Pastor, you know, one of the things that offends people when you preach is that you say these things, and I had to look at it and say, maybe I'm not emphasizing enough of the grace of God, even when we fail."
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody, I talk often about abortion and talk about homosexuality and things of that nature because those are the sins that are prevalent in our culture today.
Amen.
And sometimes believers join on the bandwagon with sin, and we should never join on the bandwagon with sin.
Amen.
Amen.
But at the same time, if you have been guilty of any of that, God can and will forgive you.
All right. Amen.
He'll forgive you.
All right, man.
But you got to confess your sin.
Yeah.
And God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. I don't ever want somebody to leave here feeling condemned. Never. If you feel convicted, that's another thing. But don't ever leave here feeling condemned because God will wash you and make you clean all
Amen.
Over
again.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God has predestined. He's previously ordained or prior appointed that we should be his. And it's according, listen, verse 5, it's according to his good pleasure. Look at verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, what a blessing. God has predestined us. He has previously ordained. He has prior appointed. And again, it's according to his good pleasure. His will, as we are taught to preach according to, taught to pray according to how the Lord Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. He says, thy will what?
Be done.
On earth as?
It is in heaven.
His will. That's what we search for. His will. For his will to be done in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane as we celebrated just last Friday, that Good Friday. He prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. That ought to be our prayer. According to verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verses 6 and 7 go together. And I'm finishing 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to put it all together to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, this is the main aim, and I'm closing with this. I can go further, but I'm going to close with this. This is the main aim of God. His main aim, if you're taking notes, please put it down. His main aim is not redemption. So somebody, if you take notes, say not redemption.
Not redemption.
His main aim is not even adoption. Say it's not adoption.
Not adoption.
It's not bringing us into the family. The main aim of God is to, according to verse number 6, is the praise of his glory. The glory of his grace. His glory is where it is. His see it in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. You see it in verse 14, which the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption, the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Amen.
His glory. Everybody say his glory.
His glory.
That's where he is. His glory. The weight, the heaviness, his manifested presence is what glory. Glory is hard to define. It's hard to define, even in the Hebrew, when they spoke of God's glory. It was his manifested presence. Other analogies and other, there was words that were similar that could be used as synonyms. Words like brightness, majesty, magnificence, grandeur. All of that is God's glory. And he wants to display his glory by his grace.
All right, now.
By favoring. Listen, and I'm finished with this. I got more, but I'm finished with this. God, oh man, this will be too hard to believe a cliffhanger on. God did not come. Jesus, rather, in God, did not come. I want everybody to hear me very plainly. To save everybody.
Amen. All right, now.
If God wanted to save everybody,
uh-huh,
what would happen?
He would just do it.
He'd save everybody.
Yeah.
But everybody is not saved.
Uh-huh.
And there is a sense in which God has chosen who would be saved.
Amen.
And with choosing who would be saved, there is this great anomaly and mystery that we cannot undo this Gordian eternal knot. With God's choosing comes God's not choosing.
Amen.
All right.
Are you following me here?
All right. Come on.
God, his sovereignty, and he has all the power and the authority to do what he wants to do.
Uh-huh.
We don't really believe that, but we say it, but it's true. God does what he wants to do with whom he wants to do it as long as he wants to do it.
Amen.
God is God and I'm not.
Amen.
And amen. God in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, has chosen some and have not chosen
others. All right, now help us, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord.
And you're sitting here today and you've been saved by God. Don't you know that ain't nobody but the goodness of God?
Yes,
sir. Who he is and who God is. God in his goodness,
yes, sir,
has decided to save you.
Yes. Thank you.
And again, God cannot, don't you dare, don't anybody in this church ever dare to charge God foolishly.
Amen.
The bottom line is this, and I'm finished. The bottom line is this, and I want you to hear this by the Spirit. God can do whatever he want to do.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen.
Whatever he want to do.
Are you listening to me?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't think y'all really hear what I'm saying.
Come on, yes, sir.
God can do whatever he wants to do. That's within his nature. He cannot violate his nature.
Uh-huh.
And some things, listen, look at somebody and say, there's some things God cannot do. God can't do anything. He can't do anything. God cannot lie.
Okay, Pastor.
You hear me?
Yeah.
God cannot die. Some things God can't do.
Yeah.
But within his nature, God can do whatever he wants to that displays his glory.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And the greatest display of his glory is he has chosen to save some. And not others. Why?
Right.
I don't know. I'm not even trying to understand what that means and what the implications are of that. But at the same time, I know this, God is God.
Amen.
And he deserves the praise and the glory.
Amen.
Especially if you are saved.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord.
Now here it is.
Here it is.
Jesus, this is what I want to say. I'm finishing with this one right here for the
uh-huh.
Jesus has more grace than I have seen.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, Pastor.
Jesus has more grace
yes.
than you and I have seen.
Mm.
Amen.
That does not allow for you to live a sinful life.
Amen.
Shall we continue in sin?
No.
That grace may abound?
Amen.
Paul said, no, God forbid. Anathema or anathema, God forbid. No. How are we who are dead to sin continue any longer therein? But if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father.
All right.
Amen.
And there is no sin that God cannot cover.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
What a gospel message that is to hear. I'm not living to prove to God that I love him or I'm saved, but at the same time, I have a debt that I need to show how much I realize that what you have done for me is not because of me, and I can't do anything to earn it. I can't do anything to get it. You just bestowed it upon me, and because of that, that's why I praise you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.